Thank you, Sister Kathleen. Please take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Turn with me to chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. For weeks now, probably even maybe a couple of months, I have been studying this particular passage of Scripture, meditating upon it, doing some research, listening to conversations, observing the lives of other people, asking missionaries and pastors of their opinions about this verse, and even some of their own personal experiences that might help me to help you with the subject that we're talking about tonight. I was also reflecting upon my own life's journey in the Lord, my prayers and my meditations and my studies have brought to light several truths that have to be considered in this passage to do it justice. This proverb in chapter 18, verse number 14, ends with a question mark. And I think that it needs to be answered. And we're going to do our best to do that. And I'm sure that I won't be able to answer it tonight. And it may turn into several messages because there are several things to be considered here. The Bible says in chapter 18, verse number 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? A wounded spirit, who can bear? A question mark. You know, it's often that I hear this term today, church hurt. Have you heard that term in our generation? Church hurt. What I would like to do is to be able to examine the truth of that statement because it is legitimate. You can really and truly get hurt around church. But church is not the only place that you're going to get hurt. Now, there's other places that will wound you deeply, including your own family and co-workers and things of that nature. And so I want to look at it, the legitimacy of this, though, tonight. But I want to look at the contrast that's given, first of all, before we delve into that. Verse 14 says, you'll notice how often that the book of Proverbs will give you a little bit of a contrast in a verse. It said, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So when the Lord made you and he put that candle in you, the spirit, he made it so that it could be strong. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist was known for waxing strong in spirit as he was growing up as a child. The Lord Jesus waxed strong in spirit as he was growing up as a child. And God has, I'm amazed at what the human spirit can endure and how it can sustain itself in great times of adversity. And by the way, adversity will help you to measure the strength of your spirit. It will. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, it is because your strength is small. Because everybody faces adversity. And there are those who rise above it and press on. Did you know that if you reach the age of 80, the Bible indicates that it is because that you have a strong spirit. Because you have been able to work your way through the difficulties of life and you've not given up. And so when he talks about that there, you see here, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. His infirmity. Now, when we talk about that, let me give an illustration of that. Some of you probably have never heard of this lady, but her name is Larcena Page. Her middle name is Pennington. Larcena Pennington Page. Just to show you the strength of the human spirit. She lived back in the 1800s. She was born in 1837. And she was an American pioneer who was actually married to Mr. Page and was captured by the Apaches. And while her husband was away for just a few hours, there was, I believe, about five of these Apaches that were watching their camp. And when he left, well, they took her and another lady. And so the closer that her husband got to them in trying to recover her, they decided that they were going to basically abuse her and kill her if they could and leave her. And so what they did was basically they took her and threw her off of a ledge, and she hung up in a tree, and it was snowing and it was cold. And it says here that she remained in the snowbank for about 3 days before waking up in the middle of the night. First she ate some, now this is after she had been lanced. She had 16 lance wounds from on her back and her arms and from the stones that they had thrown at her and cut her with their lances. And so when she woke up, she ate some snow and she looked after her wounds. She made her way down the ridge, sleeping again until sunrise. And because of her wounds and the loss of blood for the next several days, she could only crawl. She couldn't walk. And so she crawled 15 miles until she got back to the camp, eating herbage, wild onions, and snow water to drink. She said night by night, she was unable to lay on her back. She had to crouch upon her knees and her arms because of the wounds that were on her back. She said she would dream of food, and when she would wake up, she would just have gravel in her hands. Well, as time went on and she made her way, that says when she reached the camp 2 days later, she found a campfire, some flour and some coffee, and she took care of herself. And then on the next morning, she continued up to her camp. And she said when they saw her, they could not recognize her. She had clotted hair, gaping wounds, emaciated, nearly naked, sunburned. She was mistaken for an outcast squaw. And the men ran for their guns. Instead of running to help her, they ran to get their guns. It was only when she called out her name that she was recognized. And then, of course, they insisted that couldn't be her. She had to be a ghost, couldn't be the real her. But she survived those days and crawled on her knees 15 miles and survived. And of course, she continued on with her life and became very productive in her life. Now, I'm just showing you the illustration here of how strong the human spirit is. A lot of people would have given up in those circumstances and would have just rolled over and died. You know, I like to read stories about people like that because I'm thinking if they can do that, I can do that. How many of you know who Desmond Doss is? You ever heard that name? Some of you have. Famous movie was made about him called Hacksaw Ridge. Remember, he was a conscientious guy who did not want to carry a weapon in battle. He went into World War II as a medic. And he was able to save over 75 men in battle in Okinawa in World War II because of the strength of his spirit to overcome the adversities. There's also a guy, I think he was in Houston this week. I think his first name is, I know his first name is Nick. And his last name, I think, is pronounced Vucek or Vucicek. I'm not sure what his last name is pronounced, but he has no arms and he has no legs. And this guy, you won't catch him with a poochie lip. You'll catch him trying to motivate people that's got two arms and two legs to do something with their life instead of whining all the time. How can a man do that? It is because of the strength of his spirit. The strength of his spirit will help you to overcome adversity. There are lost people out there that are stronger than some Christians I know. They've gone through divorces. They've gone through hurricanes. They've gone through cancer. They've gone through heartaches, loss of children, loss of husbands and wives. And they've gone into the valley and they've come up out of it and continued on with their lives. Not because that they had the Holy Spirit to comfort them. Not because they had a Bible to read. But because they had a spirit that sustained them in their infirmity. And they were overcomers. You understand? I mean, this whole nation was built from east to west on people who were strong in spirit. I cannot imagine living in a covered wagon trying to cross some of the rivers across Texas. And if your child happened to get sick, you just simply had to bury that child in that sand and you had to keep going. And if you crossed that river and you lost everything that you had just sold your farm for to carry and it was all gone, you had to pick up your pieces and keep going. Strong in spirit. I'm thankful that we've got some men and women in here that are strong in spirit. Strong in spirit. I'm grateful for that. But there's something else in this verse that goes beyond that. Okay? And you'll notice that it's in this particular verse, it says in verse number 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So do you see the difference between facing an infirmity that we all face, and then something else different from that is when somebody wounds that spirit. Okay? Now what does that usually mean? Well, it goes beyond the physical into the invisible makeup of my constitution and your constitution of a person. It impacts the psychological, the emotional, the mental part of us, the innermost part of us when it's wounded. And usually these kind of wounds are not by strangers. They are not by people outside your world or outside the realm of that. It is people that are inside your inner circle. It is people that are inside your life that you trust or you have trusted. And you have made yourself emotionally vulnerable to those individuals. They've got to get close enough to you to where that their words matter to you. Because your opinion is not going to hurt me unless your opinion matters to me. You understand? So when you let people into your world and into your heart and into your life, then you are in a position to where that you can be wounded and you also are capable of wounding others as well. Usually they've got to be close enough to be able, this is not an arrow, this is a knife. How many of you remember when you were in school and you had to read the story of Julius Caesar? It wasn't his enemies there that hurt him. It was when Brutus, you remember the famous saying, et tu, Brute? You also have turned on me? You too have stabbed me? You too, of all the people that I could have counted on, you did this. Those are the times. See, this is what is so precious about a marriage. A marriage is when a man and a woman make themselves vulnerable one to another. And trust. A marriage is built upon trust. And when that trust is betrayed, there is a wound that goes deeper than any well that man could ever dig on this earth into the heart of that individual. Some covered up pretty good, but the wound is still there and it's deep. Do you understand? And so when you think about these things, what it does though, what it does to an individual, he says, who can bear this? When you trust somebody and love is violated, it will demotivate you. It will bring bitterness and anger. You might even withdraw. You might become cynical, hard in your heart. And you may say, I will never trust anybody ever again. When you get into the ministry, you're going to expose yourself to a lot of possibilities of getting hurt. But this is also true when you get engaged in the ministry at church, just as a church member. I want to give you an example of some reality. Look with me, please, in Luke chapter number 10, okay? I think this probably would give us the best illustration of different kinds of people. Luke chapter number 10. You know, there's a lot of trust that goes in a relationship between a church member and a pastor. You agree with that? There is a lot of trust that goes in with that. That's why in 1 Peter 5, the Bible makes it very clear that a pastor cannot become the Lord over God's people. And to be very careful that he does not abuse his position. There's a lot of people that have been hurt. You understand, there's a lot of people that have been hurt. I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to show you some different people in here. I want you to pick yourself out here. I think you might find yourself in one of them. Now, I'm going to borrow this story. I'm not expounding the scriptures in case some of you are looking to find fault with me here. I'm going to use this as an illustration and principles from it. Okay? I will not violate the passage. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 30. This is where Jesus is giving the illustration of the parable of the Good Samaritan. But what it is here, it is an example of the reality of humanity. You'll notice in verse number 30, Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his garment and wounded him." I've looked up every word in the Bible that has the word wound in it. And there are various kinds of wounds. There is wounds to the body, and there are wounds to the heart and the spirit. But let's use this in some sort of typology here to help you to understand the different kinds of people. Would you agree with me here in verse number 30 that there are that it is legitimate that there are people who are wounders. They are predators. They are takers. They are abusers. They are consumers. And you know what? They'll hurt somebody real bad and they'll just move on. Like nothing happened. This happens with pastors to people in church. This happens with physicians in the medical field. This happens in families. What you have here, there are people who actually hurt other people. And I think you can see that's pretty clear. These are true, legitimate harm being done. It happens in churches. Pastors hurt church members. Leaders in the church hurt workers, hurt people. This can happen in the sexual realm, the financial realm, the emotional and physical and psychological and spiritual realm. There are a lot of ways that people can get hurt. But I need you to see that there are real people who hurt real people. Are we in agreement with that? There are real people who hurt real people. And then notice also in verse number 30, there are real people who do get hurt. This is a real man who the Bible says was wounded. And they left him there, leaving him half dead. There are people who truly, truly, truly get seriously hurt at church and in their homes, wounded in their spirit. Now you'll notice something else here in verse number 31 and 32. There are people who know of your needs and they know that you've been wounded, but they simply don't care and they don't want to get involved. They could have done something to help, but they don't want to get involved. Verse 31 says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I think that would be true in a situation, in a home, where that if a parent is abusing a child and the other parent is aware of it and they know it, but they are doing absolutely nothing. I think that's true if that is a pastor doing that to members of his church and staff members know what's going on and they are doing absolutely nothing to stop it. Because they don't want to, quote, get involved in the situation. It says, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Do you understand? This is a dangerous world that we live in. An ungodly world that we live in. Did you know that predators dwell among us? Jude said that they would be men and women whose eyes are full of adultery. Their eyes are full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. Did you know that according to the three insurance companies that over a 20-year period had over 7,000 claims of sexual abuse by church staff members and clergy? The three biggest were the Roman Catholic Church, the Southern Baptist, and the United Methodist. The Roman Catholic Church, between 2004 and 2023, had 4,490 predators. 80% of those victims were young males from the age of 10 to 14. The Roman Catholic Church spent over $5 billion on cases during those years. Physicians, sexual abuse and molestation claims now exceed $1 billion in settlements with physicians. So when you talk about just preachers and priests and pastors, you need to think that it goes beyond that, because it's not a profession problem. It's a human problem. But when you are given authority and you're given access to the privacy of people's lives, God is going to hold you to a different level of accountability for what you do with that. But let me say this inside your family. When you think about the physicians and you think about churches, sometimes you say, well, I'm ever going to a church again because I can't trust a preacher and I can't trust a pastor and I can't trust a church anymore because I got hurt real bad there. It's possibly that you did. But I think if that happened to you with a physician and you fell ill, I think you'd find you another doctor. And I think that you'd need to understand that there are doctors out there who are not predators, who are in it because they have compassion upon people. And there are churches and preachers out there that are called of the Lord, and they'll love you, and they are not out for anything that you have to give to them. I didn't say they were easy to find. But you know something else that goes on? Do you realize concerning child sexual abuse, according to stats, 93% of this happens within your own family. 7% is from a total, complete stranger. But it's going to be people that you know, people that you've let your guard down around. Family members, in-laws, outlaws. That's why I have warned you, do not let your guard down around church families. Watch your children about sleepovers. Be very careful where you send them to youth camp and who's running those camps or the colleges that you send them to. Predators know where to go. I watched a videotape many years ago of a man that was in prison from Indiana, and he was there for being a sexual predator, and he said these things. He said, if I wanted to find children, all I had to do was go to an independent Baptist church that ran a bus ministry and volunteer to be a worker in a bus ministry because they're starving to death for workers because nobody wants to do it. And then I have access to what I'm looking for. Because very little vetting goes on. You just got to cut your hair just right, carry the right kind of Bible, say amen once in a while to the preacher, and you're signed up and ready to go somewhere on a bus route. Do you understand how these people think? You say, well, Brother Rod, you're making me cynical now about everybody. Well, I'm not trying to get you to, I'm trying to get you to see that you can get hurt in a lot of places. And there's always somebody out there that's only thinking about themselves. But there are true and legitimate victims. You don't know what anybody has really been through when they walk through those doors. And most people are never going to really, really share what is in the deepest secrets of their heart because they have learned not to trust hardly anybody in their life. Amen? That's the truth. That is why God has set up such a strict requirement for pastors. It is for your safety. It is to protect you. It's not about what kind of personality does he have. It is, does he walk according to the standards that God has established? And it is in those standards that you will find safety. You understand? God loves you and God wants to protect you. So understand this. All right? Now look again. Let's move on here. The Bible says here there are people who have legitimately been wounded. And I think that some of you have. Maybe by a preacher, maybe by a pastor, maybe by a parent, maybe by a stranger, maybe by a friend who betrayed your trust. And there are people who knew about it, but they just didn't care enough to do something about it. Verse 31, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. That's people that just want to come and go. I'm going to liken them unto people who they just want to kind of just come, enjoy the preaching and the singing, and then they depart. They just come and enjoy the preaching and they leave. They don't want to get involved in anything because they know when you get involved with humanity, it can get messy. And I'm not suggesting that all of you get involved in some of these things. What I'm saying is, though, when you see somebody that's been deeply hurt, here's what maybe you can do. Because you'll notice something about the goodness of God. God is always, always going to send somebody across your path to help you. He's like that. You'll notice in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan. In other words, it may be somebody that you were not expecting. You had in your mind that this is the only kind of preacher, or only kind of pastor, or only kind of individual in a church that could actually help you. And God may send somebody that's just a little bit different than you and your expectations that cares. Now watch. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. You see that? And when he saw him, he had compassion. God always and always will have people that will cross your path that legitimately care about you and have compassion. Now, compassion is not somebody that just looks and says, yep, they need help. That is somebody that says, I'm going to help. Now, he says, there's only so much I can do here. He said, but I'm going to pick him up and I'm going to take him somewhere where he can get more help. If I can't help you, can I at least help you get somewhere where you can get some help? Amen. Amen. Look what he says. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And he saw him and he had compassion on him. And went to him, bound up his what? His wound. Pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. There are people who know that you have needs and they do care and they're willing to help. They give of their time and their tenderness and, by the way, their treasures. Look at verse 35. And it says, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. I'm going to liken this unto this guy taking him to a good local church. and said, you need to get in that church right there, and those people right there will take good care of you. They will help you. And he says, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So let's liken that unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That if we are sensitive and obedient to the Holy Ghost, God being the God of all comfort, we can help people. And when he does return, he'll repay you for what you've done in investing in other people's lives. See, some of you want to teach a class that's got kids in it that don't have any issues. Some of you want to teach an adult class that's got adults in it that are already great disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have any warts on them. No issues. Verse 36 says, now which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor? We know which one it was, but there is another individual, the one that got wounded. Let me say this to you, if you've been wounded deeply, you know who you are. If you've been wounded, you're going to have to allow somebody to help you. This thing, as I was talking to some of our missionaries, sometimes when you get wounded, if you're not careful, you don't want to be helped. And you don't want to be healed because you want to use that as a reason of why you don't get involved anymore in church, and you want to talk about your wounds all the time. You know that wound eventually needs to turn into a scar. But if you keep picking at it, and showing everybody, look, this is what happened to me, this is where I got hurt, I need to tell you about it. What do you really want to get help, or do you just want attention? I'm asking. Wounds go deep. And if you're not careful, you'll use that as a crutch to never get engaged and involved because you just don't want it to ever happen again. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 109 real quick. Are y'all still with me? Okay, look in Psalm 109. Psalm 109. Look with me in Psalm 109 and verse number 22. I don't encourage you to pray what we call the imprecatory psalms. If you know what that is, if you don't know what that word is, forget about it. I mean, David prayed some things, boy, said, God, get them. God, get them for getting me. Hurting me. But notice what David said in Psalm 109 verse 22. That's the way I feel, by the way. Especially if somebody hurts one of my loved ones. I can handle the wound seriously better in my own heart than if you hurt my wife or my son or my daughter. It makes me then want to hurt you. And then ask Jesus to forgive me. Psalm 109 22. Look what David said. For I am poor and needy. And my what? My heart is wounded within me. But I'm glad David didn't quit. Amen? Now I want you to notice something that hurt him. I want you to notice what hurt him. Some of the greatest wounds you're going to experience is going to be words. Psalm 109, look what it says in verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. I think if you really wanted to wound me, lie to me. Just lie to me. That cuts me deep when you lie to me. He said, they compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, look at this, they are my adversaries. So when you give somebody your love, you are now becoming vulnerable. And you know what it says in verse number 4? For my love, they are my adversaries. But he said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Turn with me quickly to Luke chapter number 4. I want to show you something here that's critical as we go forward in this subject about a wounded spirit. Who can bear? I'll tell you this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can help you bear your wound and heal. I'm not saying that like flowery words. I'm talking about a man who came and who was betrayed and who was lied about and was falsely accused, shamelessly stripped, died on a cross for the sake of others, was raised again from the dead. And in that experience, he took those experiences of shame and suffering so that one day he could be a high priest that had been perfected, both God and man. And now he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And the Bible says he will actually come and succor you. That means he will come to your aid. It means he will come to where you are if you will come to him. Now watch what he says in Luke chapter 4. Interesting statement here. As if the Lord looks down upon the earth and he sees what man has done to man. Verse 14, I believe it is, that I'm looking for. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region. And he taught in their synagogues, and being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now watch this. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he's looking for this verse. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, all right, to the poor. Now watch, please understand this and mix faith with what you are reading. He has sent me to heal the broken-hearted. That are people. That is people who have been wounded in their spirit. You ever had your heart broken? Have you ever had your heart broken? Have you ever sobbed and sobbed and sobbed? This can come from a loss, but it also can come from personal pain that others have inflicted upon you. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I have watched young people. I have watched teenagers bow their head and sob uncontrollably because their father and mother were getting a divorce. Never underestimate what that does to a teenager's spirit. Never underestimate that. I have watched wives over the years in my office with a broken heart because their husband decided to just walk away and sob. No matter what happens in life, sometimes you have to pick up the pieces, you have to move on. But you don't have to move on crippled the rest of your days. Because there is a great physician, and I'm not playing with words here and offering you something that's not real. There is a God in heaven who cares. And he looks down from heaven. And he gives grace. But you know who he gives grace to? The humble. Who does he resist? The proud. And the Bible says here in Luke chapter 4, he says, listen, I came to heal the brokenhearted. I don't think that he was interested just in that 3 years of walking on the earth. To preach deliverance to the captives. Because when you get wounded, you start living in your own prison. If you allow bitterness and cynicism to put you in a wall to where that you can no longer have a normal relationship. More than you need a psychiatrist who only knows part of the problem, you need the great physician. But it will require of you some humility. The Bible says, and recovering of sight to the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised. Anybody ever bruised you? Anybody ever wounded you? I'm telling you, let me give you one more verse and we're going to have an invitation. I want you to look over in the book of Hebrews real quick, if you would please. Look in chapter number 4. I can only push you toward the cross. That's all I can do. I cannot make you believe. Look in Hebrews chapter number 4. You're familiar with this passage, but it's worth reading tonight. Cindy, would you come to the piano, please? This invitation is for anyone in here who needs some grace from God, number one. Number two, maybe you know of someone else and you know God wants you to help them. You need to try. Even if they push you away, you need to try. In Hebrews chapter number 4, I want you to look in this passage right here. Look in verse number 14. Before I read that, can I ask you a question? Now, I've asked you, have you ever been wounded? But let me ask another question. Have you ever wounded somebody? And you live with that guilt. These thieves took this guy on the road to Jericho. Okay, I'm thinking when I read that, Brother Brian, thieves. Where else do I read about some thieves? I read about two thieves on both sides of the cross. I see one thief who acknowledges what we have done. We have messed up. We have done wrong. What we're getting, we deserve. He's admitted that he has taken and hurt and wounded people. The other guy is in denial, and he doesn't care. You know who Jesus forgave? It was the one who admitted, Lord, I've done some wounding. And I've done some damage, and I'm sorry. Would you remember me? And the Lord had mercy on him. And I'm telling you that if you've done some wounding, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you tonight, have mercy upon you, and he will. And you don't have to live with that guilt the rest of your days. There's some things you can't undo. You can't unscramble eggs. You can't go back and fix some things that are broken. You just can't. But you can stop doing it to others. And if you are wounded, look in Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, I believe that, that has passed into the heavens, I believe that. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. All right, listen, the Holy Ghost is trying to emphasize to you that Jesus Christ is touched by what you've experienced. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. His heart is touched. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly with confidence unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And there in your humility and in your faith before God, pour your heart out to him and say, God, this is bigger than me. God, I can't do this. Please heal my wounds. One of these days, you and I are going to cross over into glory. And one of these days, we're going to be spending eternity with each other. And you know what we're going to see in heaven that's still on the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to see his wounds. And who are those wounds for? They're for me and for you. Five bleeding wounds he bears. Received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Let's stand together, please. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Cindy, if you would, please go ahead.